Blog Talk Radio. Holy Son, and Jesus, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who makes us one. And they will know us by our love. And unity will be brought back before the eyes of the world as the church and the kingdom come together in the ministry of one another with the heart conditions resolved and the precepts from the mountain, from the Sermon on the Mount established in the life and in the living of the children of the Most High King. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful you have joined us at Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette. This is our Friday Fellowship of Learners, and we rejoice in the fact that the Lord is just leading us through a wonderful journey of study through His Word and through the process that He has established for man. We started with some things that were downloaded in us, as they say in today's jargon, from the seven wonders in the Word, and it has just blossomed to the review and the examination of some powerful books that's been inspired by Holy Spirit and have been left to edify and build the church. Abide in Him, absolute surrender. The next seven words, the gardener's look at the fruit of the Spirit, a shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm. We have just been blessed with all kinds of spiritual insights from awesome leaders and writers and scribes. And we ask that you go before the Lord. Are you a scribe? Are you a writer? Are you someone who can do a poem, a song? Sometimes the words of the song take us right to the Word of God and to our emotions, and they heal them. So we encourage the spiritual growth and development of the people of God as we journey together. So thank you for joining us. We are now looking at the 33 precepts from the Sermon on the Mountain, precepts that have been put together by the author Paul Collin in an illustration as it relates to these sermon precepts, our heart condition. They are heart conditions. So we have been looking at heart conditions. We are starting always our journey off for today in the Word of God as we look for promises through each book of the Bible. As we journey now, we're in the book of Jud and Daniel. Jud and Daniel, praise God. Looking for promises that help us to apply the truth of the Word of God, of what God has said, to our journey and replace the lies that the enemy would like to use to discourage us in our journey. And we're replacing it with those promises that are sure, they are proven, they are God's words to us, to encourage us and to enlighten us as to who He is and His commitment to us in this journey. So I pray that you have your promises. My first one is coming from the book of Daniel and 2:20 through 22. And it reads, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changes the time and the season. He removes kings and He raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells in Him." What a comfort. What a powerful comfort, not just for us personally, for our us spiritually, economically, politically, He covers all of the bases, and he gives us that comfort, and he encourages us to bless his name, which means we need to know the name of God, the names of God, the character of God, and rejoice in the fact that it is always at work around us, and that all things belong to him, are in his hand, including wisdom and knowledge. And so often we look for it in some of the wrong places. Okay, and then my other one, let's see, made me go get the dictionary and looking for words. Out of Jude 20, at the Amplified, but you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. And so when I read that, I just rise like an edifice higher and higher. And at first I thought, well, no, rise like a building. And so I decided to look the word up, the edifice. And it was a very complicated word in that it has changed over the centuries as to what it means, which I thought was very profound. And it's changed only to include different aspects of our life. And so it can mean a building, it can mean a structure, but it also refers to a complex system of beliefs. And I love that one because he says to our faith will cause our complex system of beliefs to rise higher and higher. So the structure that we journey in will become increased. Lord said he would increase our territory so that we can dwell there. So it will become larger and larger as we embrace his truths and build our thinking upon his word. It definitely will provide a higher and higher edifice, something that's seen by men, and it will be lifting Christ up because it will be mirroring him. You know how a mirror reflects in if the sun gets it right? So can you imagine how we would reflect when the sun is being imaged out of us and we are have lifted him up and not just living in mediocrity? And so I start our morning off with that, and the lines are open, and you are free to share your words.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. This is Minister Pat, and I have lines in Jude 2:24-25. And it says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Minister Pat, that's the promise God gave me.
He gave both of us.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm saying it kind of tongue in cheek, but you know, we do that all the time as a benediction, and sometimes you really didn't even consider it like a promise, you know, because it's. Sometimes we just say stuff all the time. Like I said, that's been a benediction all my life. Now, Tim has been able to keep it. You know, you just say it and don't even. It's up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not proud of this. I'm just saying this is just the reality of sometimes when you know, you lift something up and it's like, oh, I know that. I could say that in my sleep. I never thought about it as a promise. You know what I mean? So just how sometimes you have to just have a different lens on what we look at. But my promise actually that because I didn't even think of that as a promise when I looked at Jude. So my promise in Jude was Jude 1, which is those who have been called are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So that's Jude 1. So that was my promise from Jude. And my promise from Daniel was coming from Daniel 2, beginning at the 20 through 22, which says, blessed be the name, this is from the Amplified for Daniel, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and greater knowledge to those who have understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him. That probably sounds somewhat, I'm trying to see if I can find this right quick. And maybe I can't find it in what it says. In the King James, because that's a pretty, really, I was going to say, that's a pretty common in the King James, because you don't really hear it, but yeah, you know, that's one that you hear a lot in the King James, but you don't hear it much in the Amplified, so to me it just kind of gave a different thing out of the Amplified, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so those are my two.
Yeah, it's like, that sounds familiar. It's like, oh, that's what I said. It was out of the King James. Absolutely.
Right, and I didn't even, when you read it out of King James, I was thinking, but I wasn't really thinking that was the exact same thing, but, you know, but yes.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, because even just that 20th by itself will really just, you know, the 20th stands alone. I think the 21st and 22nd kind of opens it up, but, you know, it says that, you know, blessed be his name forever for wisdom and might are his, you know, and to me that just gives us that whole confidence that wisdom and might are his. It is, you know, just being able to trust him in every, you know, in every situation, knowing that that really is his and it's not ours, you know. And it seems like wisdom, I know for me that whole wisdom and the might, it seems like, okay, I got my wisdom, I got my might, but, you know, it's like it leaves me failing every single time. Yeah. But God's wisdom and blesses us.
Yes. And I think for me it was that political aspect that so has the attention of the world in today's society. Anytime you turn on something, you know, it's Trump report or what the king, not the king, but the prime minister, whatever he is, in North Korea and this one over here, Russia and whatever. But the word says, you know, he puts up kings and he takes them down. And so it is not outside of his control. And so it doesn't matter what they do. Okay.
Right. And it's interesting, you know, it says he changes the times and seasons. I mean, I just looked at that then, changing the times. I mean, you always, I think, of the seasons, but changes the times. Now it's going to make me go back and see how, like, Strong's uses that word times. Like, he changes the times. And the seasons. That's pretty awesome.
that is pretty awesome. And I never looked at it that way. And as, like you say, as we seek him, he causes us to find the secret things in him. And the message that's always been there, but now the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened, and we can see the hope that promise has, and we can apply it to our daily living, even our planning. It is prophetic for us as well. And if we listen to Holy Spirit, he will give us the wisdom that God and the knowledge of those things to come so that we can live our life now with that knowledge of what's coming. I'll never forget about 7 years ago, we were celebrating Christmas, and as we were together, God shared a word with me, and I shared it with the family. And when I said it, I had no idea what he meant. You know, it's like, well, okay, whatever that is. And maybe it was even more than seven. Maybe it was about 7 years ago. And it was prophetic. And it was, you know, hard times are coming. And it wasn't necessarily for our family, but just they are coming. And we needed to gird ourselves up. And that meant financially, it meant spiritually, it meant even relationally. It was going to become more difficult to just be. And so we had to be built up, as he said, in our most holy faith in order to be still useful during the time that we're ahead. And in retrospect, I can see each one and how each one made a profound difference in how we live our life. Immediately looking at the financial structure and the debt structure and just different things and acting upon it and what a difference it made. And so God's word is prophetic, not just from the prophet to us, but from the word of God and the Holy Spirit to us, because he knows what's ahead. He knows what's coming. Heaven has revealed it to him, and heaven has given him the agenda for us so that as we seek him, he can lead, guide, and direct us, correct us, and establish us. So it's becoming such a powerful journey when we understand the level of commitment God has and the way he has orchestrated things to happen in time before our knowledge and our understanding in the time, because he has the times and seasons, and even seasons being seasons of our life and seasons in the journey. So, Tim gets so excited about the promises, okay? Is that anybody else that has their promises they would like to share? But thank you, Elder, Minister Pat. Awesome. Anybody else with their promises?
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go right into the precept. And I would like to share this with you. I am looking at a book I'm actually listening to a book that might be extremely interesting for us to do, but I will let you know. But one of the things it lists is 10 conditions of the body. One of the things, mine.
Oh, hey, Overseer?
Yes.
I looked up something. I just want to say this one thing before you change over into the 10 things for the body. That when I looked up, I just looked up the Hebrew. I did the strong thing for times in that verse.
Yeah.
And one of the things that it says, it refers to a proper time, a time when something should occur. So to me, that even is even more awesome when we think about it. He changes the time.
Yeah.
That we don't even have to worry. We can have the confidence that, well, we know that he's in control, but you understand what I mean. I know I'm not articulating that well.
Awesome.
But just the whole idea that this is in his time, because right now this stuff seems crazy to me, like this can't be God's plan for this nut to be, you know, doing what he's doing. But it says it refers to a proper time when something should occur. And then it goes on to talk about some other times, you know, a sense of a time period when things should change, changing circumstances, you know, the proper time when something should occur. So that's a interesting kind of thing in and of itself, that, you know, he knows, you know, what it's weird. You know, I'm crazy, so don't mind me rambling. I'm just saying it's just kind of blowing me away, the whole idea that, you know, it's in his timing, although we know it's in his timing, but, you know, the more we dig, you know, we see the nuggets that he's telling us. That time means that, you know, when I decide, you know, I will changing, this is the time for the change, you know, change of the time as well as the change of the season. So anyway, that's all that. I'm sorry. I wish I could make it sound better.
No,
but,
I think it's wonderful. No, because that stirs up. That is supposed to stir up in our spirit a seeking for him and the understanding of what he's sharing. This is like the treasures in darkness. We don't want to just rush past it. No, let's go back and get it. And then, you know, present it here. Look what you showed me. And I have found this, you know, and I'm embracing it in my heart. And that's what will change the conditions of our heart, the conditions of our soul. One of the things that was shared in this reading that I am doing is that there obviously is a warfare out there on saints, and there's a strategy to the enemy's warfare. And because we are body, soul, and spirit, each one of those areas are parts that are under attack in a strategic way. And one of the things that someone had asked me, it was the difference between the soul and the spirit. And this shares that the spirit is what we are renewed when we become saints. We're born again, and we get the DNA of heaven. But the soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so that's the battleground. That is the heaviest battleground, I'll put it that way, because that's the DNA of heaven. The devil really can't do anything with it. But neither can we if we don't know it. You know how they say, go to .com23 and find out, you know, where you came from, so you'll know, you know, how to live where you are now and whatever. But this is that same concept. And, you know the DNA of heaven. That's getting the promises into us. That's us, getting the promises. Because your most holy faith, that's where that comes from, the DNA of heaven. But the soul is where the precepts are intended to renew. And it's renewing it because when we come to God, we've come, and even after we are his children, our soul, our emotions, our will, and our mindset isn't instantly renewed. But it is. It has 10 conditions, this book talks about. And I'm just going to read them briefly, but it's a conflicted, and we're talking about the soul and our emotions. Conflicted soul, a tormented soul, a fearful soul, an anxious soul, a rejected soul, a weary soul, an offended soul, a lost soul, a wounded soul.
What was that one after rejected?
Rejected.
What did you say after rejected? Did you say fearing? With
weary.
An F?
Weary.
Weary. Okay, I'm sorry. Weary. Okay.
A weary soul. And that soul is the lack of the flowing of the spirit because we've lost hope in seeing what God can do right now. And so our soul gets weary. Our emotions get weary. Leaders get weary because they don't see it moving. And that's the whole point. Well, no, the book is really very profound. But I just want to finish sharing the weary soul, an offended soul, a lost soul, a wounded soul, and a confused soul. And these are some of the things that the conditions of our emotions, our will, and our mind that the precepts will heal. And they'll heal them when we believe the DNA of heaven, when we understand the DNA of heaven that is now in us. It is in us. Okay?
And that name of the book is what?
The name of the book.
The name of the book is what?
Is Hell's Toxic Trio. Hell's Toxic Trio. And
wow.
Well, we'll yeah. It, wow, I'm just And this is just like chapter one. Okay. So I do want to look more into it. But I saw the correlation, though, between that and the precepts. So we will go into the precepts, those that are presenting today, their precepts from the mountain sermon.
Are you asking?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure. I am still somewhat confused on exactly what I would be sharing, but I can tell you which ones jumped out at me from the consecration. I did not. I know that I had this material before we even started talking about it, and I couldn't actually find the original, but I do have, you know, from the consecration, so I have the, you know, the 30-day violations and the, you know, the stuff that we sent off at the consecration. So I have that, but I don't have the sheet assigning where we are for the Friday fellowship. So if whenever you get a moment, you could resend that. But I will give you the ones that jumped out at me as I looked at via the consecration. Number one, which was number four, which was a disciplined, hungry heart, which says hunger and thirst for righteousness, abstaining from other fleshly appetites. And it talks about that the violation of that precept of the Corinthians, that they had to be fed with milk because they were not hungry for meat, that they didn't even desire the meat. You know, like sometimes with when I think of babies, you know, where they don't want the bottle. You know, it's easy, it's convenient, uh-huh. It's efficient. Just let me put it in my mouth and leave me alone. You know, I'll just take it, you know, where they don't want to get the little bitty bites, you know, those kinds of things. And so when I read that, I thought about me, you know, specifically, that sometimes, you know, you can be in the Word, and there's some hard things in the Word, and it's like, Lord, you know, seems like you've burnt the dross off. I thought it was all gone until something else rises up. You know, that maybe hasn't been completely reconciled or submitted to him. So just that whole idea of, you know, that we need to hunger and abstain from our fleshly appetites. That's what I was saying. I'm confused. I didn't know if you wanted us to be looking at it, how it comes to us, or if I'm not going in the right direction, please just tell me. But the, like I said, the two that jumped out was that Matthew 4, a disciplined and hungry heart. And I know for me that those are things that I'm violating. So sometimes I just don't really want to do the hard, hard, hard work, that it is much easier to kind of deal with the flesh, to self-medicate, to do whatever, you know, just not have to do it God's way all the way. You know, it's like, God, I'm there 88%. But that other 12% is killing me, you know, just in what he wants to do. It was that one, and it was also the peaceful heart. Number 7, Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers. And, you know, when it talks about the violation, and I find myself that I think just the ministry and I'm in a lot of different organizations and different people pull on you and have different things, and it is so easy to be drawn into, yeah, I understand why you ticked off, or I understand, like, yeah, they really didn't do that, and yeah, the so-and-so, and it's just so, for me, you know, I find it that it's just so easy to be in that violation side, where it talks about it was divisions among them, contentions among them, malice instead of sincerity, no one is able to judge, and confusion among them, of which God is not the author. And so trying to walk in the area of trying to have the heart of a peacemaker, it seems like every day, you know, or week to week, it seems like there is such a struggle, because I know we are to be the light and we are to be the salt, and whatever words of advice or consolation, you know, I know that God requires that they line up with his word. Even though sometimes in the natural, I know why there are divisions and I know where there are contentions, because sometimes God's people can be really unlovely. Sometimes we can be very thin skin. Sometimes we can be very insensitive. Sometimes we can just be nasty. And sometimes when people pour out their hearts, even though we're supposed to be standing, you know, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the flesh, the carnal part of my nature can make me really feel inside, like I feel for you, because I know they're giving you a raw deal. You know, so those were two, but I don't know if I'm understanding how you want us to be bringing that. But those were two that just kind of jumped out at me, because it just seems like sometimes it's really hard to walk in that area of a peacemaker and have it settled in my heart. Because sometimes I really do understand, and I'm really kind of feeling the way they're feeling, even though I know that's not the way God wants me to feel. I understand, and so he's working with me. Like, you know, I might not say what I'm feeling, but I know that in my heart, like, yeah, they was wrong, you know, kind of thing. So I don't know, you might need to help me out with some clarity on that. I'm not sure if I'm following how you want us to do this.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I mean, you're doing fine.
Morning.
Good morning. Yeah, that was off the two. Like I said, I know you said we had gone through two, and I was just looking at two that, as I read through, that jumped out at me. So I'm not sure. Yeah. But that's kind of my thing on that peaceful heart and the disciplined, hungry heart, that, you know, my desire is to have a disciplined and hungry heart and hunger and thirst for righteousness, and knowing that God will take care of it, you know. And then, you know, and the whole idea of being a peacemaker, trying to really be a peacemaker, that people know they're going to get the word of God when they come to me, and not my opinion and my ideas on what would probably be the best way in the natural.
Amen. Evangelist, you going to say something?
Yeah, good morning. You know what I did this morning. I just said good morning to Jesus. I didn't read nothing. I got my chair and sat out on my porch. And me and Jesus just had a nice talk, laughing and talking and looking at the squirrel and the cat running up and down. And I just enjoyed Jesus, just me and God this morning, just laughing and talking. So sometimes you just need to just relax with him. Just say, hey, God up there. You know, just forget. Just say, hey, don't let him get the squirrel today. And just say, Jesus, and just come on with it. And just don't think about nothing but just the sky, him, and you. And just relax. You know, just say, God, me and you this morning. And just say, ooh, ooh. You know, and let everything go. Just you and him. And relax.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's a hunger heart. Absolutely. Hunger, a hunger heart and a peaceful heart. Hey, I just want to know what you're doing up there. You know, I want to know what's going on. It's such a peaceful. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, praise the Lord. I love it. I just absolutely love it. I know that one of the things that Elder was sharing, you know, I'm not sure how you want us to come, and it's not me. When we look at the questions, and remember, we're looking at this based on how we did on our Holy Spirit, how it relates to why it's as it is. And then there were some points that we were given to look at as we do this, so that we could see how it is to be incorporated and how we can embrace the precepts. I was really trying to find quickly, which you never find it quickly, the actual consecration that the candidates are doing, because on the attachment there is some information, some questions that we can ask ourselves that we need to answer. There it is. That may help when we're looking at this. But I think that other people have done their presentation, you know, and you just come from the direction that Holy Spirit deals with you. Like you say, it jumped out at you, and so you looked at that. And so I would say just with a hungry heart and a peaceful heart, so which one of the fruits or what those two hearts need to be cultivated in your life? Which one of the fruit of the Spirit would that need to be cultivated? And then let's look at that fruit. So one, you were saying a hungry heart. A people look at a peaceful heart. And so what are some of the attributes of a peaceful heart? It says it's not the absence of turmoil, but the presence of tranquility, even while in a place of chaos. It is a sense of wholeness and completeness that is content, knowing that God controls the events of the day. So that peace, that fruit, is directly tied into the promise that you read today, which would directly exercise that precept of a peaceful heart in your life. Regardless of what people do, it doesn't matter how difficult Christians are. It doesn't matter how hard of a process people make ministry. It doesn't matter how stubborn we are, okay? Peaceful comes through the knowledge that God, knowing that God controls the season and the time, the kings and all those things. And so we just want to tie in everything that we have been looking at, have been exposed our spirits to, so that our spirits can grow spiritually and develop into maturity because of the knowledge that God has given us. And that's also part of your promise. So that's amazing how well your promise for today ties into the conditions of the Sermon on the Mount that precept.
Yeah, that's why we keep you around, because you're so smart and you can pull all that together. I would have never, I didn't even see none of those things connected. But that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that the God will give you that insight. All those things seem very disconnected, but, you know, there you go. Thank you. Thank you.
And so we do. We want to connect the dots and get excited about them being connected. And it's interesting, and I think that I want that to be a part of what we do. What was your score on peace as it related to a fruit of the Spirit? What was your hunger for righteousness? Okay, probably self-control would be the fruit. A hunger and thirst for righteousness, controlling what it is you want to ingest. And you even said that yourself. You're not at a point now where, you know, I don't want to do that because that's too much work and I'll just give me milk because that's certainly the way babies feel. And yet, the minute they taste the good stuff, they grow. And that's all he's telling us. The minute you taste the good, the minute you hunger for me and you allow me to give you some of my manna, you're going to want it. You're going to want that meat, and you're not going to want to go back to milk no more. If somebody wants to hand us a bottle right now, it's like, are you kidding? You know, I want fried chicken and french fries and steak and gravy and mashed potatoes.
That is true, from glory to glory, once you get there, once you get to that point. But you really don't long for that until you know what it is. You're right. You're right. You know, so when God opens up something, then it's like, oh, man, I can't believe I was getting along fine without that. But now, you know, here's another tool in my arsenal, you know, whatever, you know, be it your prayer life, your devotion life, your, you know, whatever. Yes, you're right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we use that analogy day by day, it'll change how we think about things, how we embrace the truth that he's bringing to us that we don't necessarily want to taste that it don't look right, okay? But if we remember, well, I can trust him because he did give me, you know, that he's doing that as an analogy, but, you know, that, I don't know, that salad with raisins on it, you know, whereas before all I did was eat lettuce. Now, oh, I can put raisins and tomatoes and this and that and the other. I'm trying to help the, I'm trying to think like Minister Pat in that healthy food thing stuff that she does. But at any rate, and so as we do those things, they become constant reminders because they actually then become a part of our living and our thinking. So if we don't have, I often share with people, if they don't have an alternative, the world is going to always go to what they hear around them. So the kids, if they don't have an alternative, we can say they do, but did we give it to them? Did we present it to them as effectively as the world has presented themselves to the end? No. You know, have we made the whole walk in Christ an exciting, powerful, you can't miss this type thing? Just like the commercials they do that get you to buy and embrace and look at some stuff that's just utterly ridiculous. But they are, that's toxicity of this trio in infiltrating our life. One of the things is that we are anointed, and when we are brought into the body of Christ through our faith and we are saved by his grace, then we are anointed. The anointing is the unstoppable power of God. It cannot be stopped. Can't nothing stop God's power. We are given the ability to see, hear, and to know all things through the anointing, Holy Spirit. And so, because the enemy doesn't want us to get to understand, he knows what we have. But we don't understand what we have. And so these precepts are telling us, do this, and you're going to understand the power of it. Because then you're going to be able to see, to hear, and to know. Now, when you look at your blessed are the peacemakers, what do they get in the scripture? What do they get? When you hear the rest of the precept for your hunger and thirst, what do they get? There's something that is a natural result of us embracing this precept. So when we look at it, you get the
Do you mean like the opposite of what it says? Is that what you mean?
No, no. What does it say? Blessed are the peacemakers. What? In the Bible.
Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, let me pull it actually up in the Bible. I'm looking at the computer to 5:9.
Yeah.
Matthew 5:9. 1 second. I'm sorry, I didn't have Matthew. I was still in Daniel. Matthew. Okay, so it says, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. No problem. We're waiting.
So they shall be called the children of God.
The children of God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, why would they be called the children of God?
Because he is Jehovah Shalom, our peace.
Okay, and who's going to call them the children of God?
God. You don't think God would call us the children of God?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you mean like in the natural, like the people are calling us the children of God? Pardon?
Yeah, I'm just saying, do you think that the people will call you a child of God?
Yeah, I really do. I do. But I'm not sure if you mean literally. But I think they would. I think they come, but sometimes they don't. Yeah, okay. Then I think that yes. Because it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But I tell you what I'm going back to. In the written part that the Dr. Arlette sent us, it was saying something that you don't have to do these things to be in the kingdom. This is a reward of being in the kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God on earth, not the kingdom of God in heaven, because we wouldn't have to worry about being peaceful and all those things, because everything that's not like God ain't going to be in heaven, so we ain't got to even worry about, you know, issues and violations. But so I guess if we're talking about, you know, these are the rewards, I would say I think people call us, you know, as ministers, the children of God.
Go ahead.
No, I just didn't hear what you said.
No, that was it.
I was just saying.
Okay. Yes. We will be called the children of God, but not just by God, but by those who see us. That's what our opening song says, and they will know us. Okay?
You have 8 minutes.
All right.
Yes.
So, you all share amongst each other what else comes when you get that precept.
Let's see. Blessed are the peacemakers, so they should be called children of God. Any ideas, anyone? I'm kind of thinking that when we say the whole.
Let's start with.
Okay.
The Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 and verse 1. And if we read the first 10 verses, there are rewards or there are results of embracing these precepts. So what I
right. So like for that one, it says that we will be called children of God. From verse 1, where it's saying, verse 1 actually says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So those that are poor in spirit will get the kingdom of heaven. If like I said, I'm not sure if I'm following you on that. I mean, that's what the word says, but I'm not sure if that's how you, you
okay,
know.
Okay, so what is the revelation? Well, what is the revelation of getting the kingdom of heaven? Remember, the DNA of heaven is in our spirit. So we will possess that which is characteristic of those that dwell in heaven. And that's the peace, that's all the fruit of the spirit. And so that troubled soul, that lost soul, that confused soul, that offended soul will no longer be part of our soul condition, because now we'll have a new condition. And that's going to be, blessed are.
Which one are you talking? 5:3, the grateful heart, the very first one, blessed and the poor in spirit. One that is bankrupt, a beggar, for the smallest kindness, the opposite of demanding.
Right. Yes, yes. So when those things are a part of our spirit, it says there is a result. Timothy.
Yes,
sir. It's coming to the telephone. Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just reading what it was saying. Yes, I was just reading what it said under the precept on the form that blessed are the poor in spirit, which is one who is bankrupt, a beggar thankful for the smallest kindness. It's the opposite of demanding.
Yes.
It's kind of like who we would be, what we would, having a grateful heart, being grateful for every blessing, for every consideration and grace that God has given us. And, you know, and that violation being that they were reigning as kings, like they were lording over other people. They were puffed up. They thought they knew everything. They were murmuring, you know. And so, you know, that great, as opposed to having a grateful heart, you know, they had a puffed up, arrogant, probably obnoxiously prideful heart.
Okay. So they weren't meek and lowly like Jesus Christ.
No.
Remember,
no, they were
Jesus
not meek and lowly.
Okay. So here again is that what was the element or the result of our examination of that particular fruit in our life? You know, because that gives us an indication, even though we may not be like the Corinthians, we're probably worse. You know, I want us to be like them. We didn't do the things that they did. We do other things. And so because of that, okay, that's how we want to look at these precepts. That's how we want to look at the result of our gift assessment.
Okay. I think that makes sense. I think that I know for me the clarity of looking at the Sermon on the Mount, looking at the violations, and then tying, I guess I wasn't really tying that back to that fruit of the Spirit. I was looking at the fruit of the Spirit as a separate thing, but I think you've given me some stuff to think about. I don't know about anybody else. And if I'm not mistaken, aren't you supposed to be off the line and somewhere else right now?
Huh?
I said, aren't you supposed to be off the line and somewhere else right now?
Yes, I am.
Yes. So we thank you. I mean, really. So, I'll get off the line for you. So we thank you for the clarity, because I really think that for me, like I just said, putting it all together. So for next week, what do you want us to do for next week so we can hang up?
The same thing. We want to look at them.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Yes. Thank you. All right. So that's how we want to look at it. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. Minister Paulette.
Yeah.
All right.
Next week I will present my assignment. The one you assigned to me. Number 19.
Okay.
All righty.
I'm taking y'all on my transportation.
All right.
Go on and do what you need to do.
We appreciate, you know, your due diligence, even in the midst of traveling. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Be blessed.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Uh-oh. More?